Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them, these gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Oddity News. My name is Dave Wirtz. I am your host. And with me, as always, is a man who keeps me regular. That's about it. Yeah, it's constant snoring, also known as PC Tunney.
I thought there was going to be a fiber-related joke there.
No, I didn't have that lined up.
How you doing, bud?
PC, how are we doing this week?
I'm good. How are you? You are in the midst of a lot of things going on for yourself, are you not?
Oh my, dude, this is a week from hell. It'll be fun. It'll be crazy, but I tell you right now, this last week of July is nonstop from morning till night. I think I have, like, so many performance-based things. I got responsibilities. And it's not just like one task for the day. It is from, like, seven different outlets from Monday to Sunday. I don't know what's about to happen. I might die. This might be the last episode of The Oddity already. Wow. And it wasn't because...
What a great run.
It's not because I'm doing it on purpose. is hard. It's hard.
You're not dying on purpose. Good for you.
No, I'm trying not to. I'm trying. Folks, well, as always,
stay tuned.
Please address the people.
Stay tuned to see if episode 6 comes out next week.
Well, as always, here at The Oddity, we do love to bring all the positivity, but the unique and the unusual from the week of the news. And we are going to get things going right away with a little bit of Olympic knowledge. It's that time of year, and the Paris Olympics have come in. And if you didn't know, Paris has, I should say every Olympic host city, has their own list of rules, and they have recently been released about what is and isn't allowed and the guidelines that the 2024 Paris Olympic Committee has set for their Olympic athletes. Now, Tony, I don't know if when you think of the food of France, the French food, could you give me one dish?
Does it have to be a dish, or can it just be an item of food?
I'll take an item.
A baguette. You always see the French grocery, the baguette sticking out of the bag, right?
That's a classic. That is. Yeah, or maybe a pommes frites, or as us Americans would say, a French fry.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? French fries are banned at the Olympic Village. And on top of that, avocados are also banned, which includes specifically citing avocado toast, which is, you know, the ultimate athletic food. Well, guess what? Charles Guillot, one of the village chefs in charge, told the New York Times that no French fries because they are too risky because of fire hazard concerns over the deep fat fryers. Also, there is no foie gras because of animal well-being, which is at the forefront of everyone's mind. And no to avocados because they are imported from a great distance and consume a lot of water. Which, as we have talked about in recent episodes, most of the water in Paris is filled with feces. So that's probably a good reason why they don't want to do that. So are you upset you can't get some French fries?
Listen, I never had any aspirations of being an Olympian, especially at my age I am at now. I am farthest from Olympic shape I've been in a long time. So no, I'm not worried about it. I can still get my French fries. I can still get my avocado toast. I just, man, what do you think these super toned athletes are really eating a lot of French fries anyway, Dave?
Well, no, but avocado toast is definitely possibly on that menu.
It sounds like
also they're working out nonstop, and especially the Olympic host committee is helping them out. Do you know how many Olympic athletes there are in Paris?
I couldn't tell you one way or the other.
It's roughly 14,250.
That's a lot.
All right. Well, to help with their time, the Paris Committee has also procured 300,000 condoms for the people there, for the athletes. So roughly 21 per person.
Yeah, I heard the sexual activity in the Olympic Village is pretty high. Think about a lot of in-shape people really, you know, working towards something and then needing a release once it's been done, literally and figuratively. There's a lot of fucking going on, Dave. A lot of fucking.
Yes, and they're trying very hard to not let that happen. this isn't proven, but this has been speculated. The housing projects that they have put these people in, it's quite a get up. One, they have cardboard beds, easily disposed of cardboard beds, and they are tiny.
Do you know why they have them specifically, though, besides the easy disposal? They're only supposed to support.
Go on.
They're only supposed to support the weight of one person.
Oh, yes, exactly. And none of the buildings have AC in it at all. They're hoping that with the way that the buildings are built, that the sun doesn't shine on the windows. And they have water pipes underneath the floorboards. Which, again, it is widely speculated that is to hopefully keep people from touching each other.
So another headline for this story could have read, French Olympic Committee hopes sun doesn't shine.
don't touch each other. But, like, let's just be honest. They're going to hook up.
Yeah, it's happening. It's definitely happening. I got an Olympic story for you. We can stay on these Olympics in Paris. Wedding ring in river during Paris Olympics opening ceremony. The Italian high jumper lost his wedding ring in the Seine River during the athletes' parade at the 2024 Paris Olympics opening ceremony. Tokyo Olympics gold medalist Gianmarco Tamberi has made headlines again, but this time for an unfortunate reason. The Italian high jumper lost his wedding ring in the Seine River during the athletes' parade at the 2024 Paris Olympics opening ceremony on Friday. Tamberi, who shared the gold medal with Qatar's Mutaz Issa Barshim at the Tokyo Olympics in 2020, was serving as Italy's male flag bearer at the ceremony. In a moment of distraction, Tambari's wedding ring slipped off his finger and fell into the river. And I love when these ads come on while you're reading a story. Thank you, Axio Golf. This story is brought to you by Axio Golf. Believe it or not, that just happened. Tambari shared a medal in the 2010 Olympics. His wedding ring slipped off his finger and fell into the river. In an Instagram post, he apologized to his wife, Chiari Bontempi Tambari. They have been married for 22 months. Too much water, too many kilos lost in the last few months, or maybe the irresistible enthusiasm of what we were doing. Probably all three things. The fact remains that I felt my ring slip away. I saw it fly. I followed it with my gaze until I saw it bounce inside the boat, Tambari wrote on Instagram, sharing pictures with his wife. A glimmer of hope, unfortunately, the bounce was in the wrong direction, and floating more than 1,000 times in the air, I saw her dive into the water like that was the only place she wanted to be. A few moments lasted an eternity, Tambari added. Despite the mishap, the 32-year-old found a silver lining, suggesting they renew their vows and get married again with a new ring. I love you, my love. May it be auspicious to come home with even bigger gold. So, could you find the silver lining in losing a very expensive wedding ring, Dave?
No. But let's just be honest. Yeah, that there is no silver lining on that ring. There might be a brown lining on it now.
That might be another reason that they probably didn't want to publicize too much in this story and skip over, was that, like we had mentioned earlier today and in earlier episodes, that river is kind of dirty.
Well, you know, when we did talk about it, the mayor was trying to prove that it was clean by taking a swim. Apparently, she did go in. I mean, she might have come out with an extra limb, but that's to be remains to be seen. You know, and to continue on the Olympic news, a Australian field hockey player, Matt Dawson, age 30, badly broke a digit on his right hand after he was hit by a hockey stick during a training session in Perth 2 weeks ago. Well, the impact left the top of his finger nearly entirely severed, and his Olympic dreams were hanging in the balance, apparently, and so was his finger. Well, Matt Dawson, in efforts to go and actually be a part of the Olympics, had his finger completely amputated so that way he could go and participate at the Summer Games in France. The athlete could have his finger completely amputated and still go. Otherwise, he would have had to stay back. But Dawson plays in the defense for Australia, and he chose the latter. A surgeon took about an inch off the end of his ring finger on his right hand, just below the top knuckle. He said he had called his wife after talking about the amputation with the surgeon, and she warned him against making a, quote, rash decision. Tony, how much are you willing to sacrifice so that way you could go to the Olympics? We've already established, you're not the athletic type. No, well, neither am I. Let me just make that clear.
I'm very athletic. I'm just like 4 years removed now from being athletic. You know, kind of getting old.
You still have golf.
I do. If you
improve your handicap.
Yeah, that would not help me in my golf game at all. Losing any part of the fingers or hands there, you'd kind of need those. A lot of very touch there. It reminded me immediately of Ronnie Lott, right? Isn't that the most infamous cutting off the finger to continue to play kind of story that there is in sports? Or the only other one I could think of, to be honest with you. But you know what? Good for that person. Just not what I wanted, you know.
Yeah, I'm good. I'll keep my fingers.
Yeah, I need all 10 fingers and toes, all of them, please. Thank you.
That pause made it feel like you were counting.
I was looking down. My socks are actually off. I looked down. I was like, okay, we're good. We're good. Feel good. Feel good. Here's a quick hitter for you. Red-faced man with sauce on his face and clothes charged with meatball theft. Hazel Township, Pennsylvania. Police say a damning clue led to the arrest of a Pennsylvania man charged with stealing a pot of meatballs, red sauce smeared on his face and clothes. Authorities in Luzerne County have charged 48-year-old Layman Glenn Robert Potter with burglary, criminal trespass, and theft by unlawful taking for allegedly swiping a pot of meatballs from a man's garage on Monday. Police say the victim reported his meatballs missing and told officers at around 2:30 p.m. Monday that he saw Potter standing in front of his house with red sauce on his face and clothes. The pot was found on the street. It's unclear if Potter washed the sauce off before he was arrested a short time later. Potter's attorney did not immediately respond to a voicemail seeking comment. Gives a new meaning to being caught red-handed.
Tony and I, we review and we find all of these stories. And usually a lot of the time, you know, our stories kind of cross paths into some capacity. I'll tell you right now, I don't understand how I missed a meatball theft apology at all. I am disappointed in myself.
It is, this is an old story.
That's great. I don't care. I don't care. It's still awesome. That's a great story.
They had to run with that for sure.
All right, everyone. This is a perfect time for us to cut away and give a shout out to our sponsors.
There we go. All right. This is The Oddity right here. Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And like I've promised so many times, it is on the way. The Oddity t-shirt will be there soon. Having some technical difficulties getting that thing uploaded to ProWrestlingTees.com. /thechairshot, but continue to follow me at PC Tunney or at Chairshot Media, and we'll make sure we get that update to you as soon as possible. Now back to The Oddity and Dave Wirtz.
Thank you very much, PC Tunney. And as always, this is time for the wonderful segment of One Star Review. And Tunney, what is probably the biggest movie right now?
Well, I think it's the one that I went and saw Friday, and it would be called Deadpool and Wolverine.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
And you would be correct. Well, I do have a review of Deadpool and Wolverine as read, written, I should say, by Sean Burns, right? Deadpool and Wolverine begins with a former digging up the latter's grave and using his exhumed adamantium skeleton as a weapon during an action scene set to an NSYNC song. After that, it's barely a movie. Deadpool and Wolverine is a filmed attempt to realign corporate assets under a new umbrella, inducting Reynolds' potty-mouthed assassin and Jackman's moody mutant into the Marvel Cinematic Universe with a barrage of arch-pop culture references and inside jokes aimed at Redditors and fanboys who fancy themselves showbiz insiders. It's exhausting. And also self-aware enough to acknowledge from the opening sequence that the bones of the superhero genre have been picked pretty clean. And all that's left is irony, poison, snark. The story doesn't bother even trying to make sense. Reynolds calling out the plot's dumber development in constant asides to the camera, bringing in a villain from one of those Disney Plus streaming shows you couldn't pay me to watch. The film sends the recently unretired Deadpool on a mission to bring an undeceased Wolverine back to the timeline in which he died during 2017's Logan, a strenuously dour superhero drama in which characters from all over the X-Men saga tried to prove that they were in a serious film by saying fuck more times than you heard it in The Deer Hunter. I understand that film is revered by many, but I found myself giggling at all the excessive profanity. It sounded like an 8-year-old's idea of how hard asses talk. Nearly every scene of Deadpool and Wolverine is exactly the same. Reynolds makes some cheeky, kind of gayish wisecrack about Jackman while he scowls and says the F word a lot. Occasionally they fight, but not before turning to the camera and telling nerds in the audience that this is what you've been waiting for. Since both characters have regenerative healing powers, they can't be killed or even seriously injured. There's absolutely nothing at stake, especially when the actors are making lame quips about stories they assume we've seen on Access Hollywood. The packed theater I was in ate it all up. Arf, arf, arfing like circus seals at every reference and illustrating just how little people are willing to accept from an entertainment if it makes them feel like a part of a community.
Dumbass.
I will tell you right now, there are about 15 other paragraphs, but it is a resounding 1 out of 5. Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, some people just like to be angry, and probably half of that was written before you even seen the movie. I'm trying to find it right now. I don't really care when people come out and do this. It's fun for us. It's great for our show that we do here, because we can sit and laugh and make fun of it. Yeah, 81% on Rotten Tomatoes with a 98% audience score. Like, if you didn't know what that movie was going to be when you came into it, then that's your own fault, because they got exactly what you wanted. I saw it. I loved it. I went and saw it in 3D. That opening sequence was amazing, with the NSYNC Bye 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 dance fight scene. Have you watched it yet or no?
I have not. Okay. I do. Like I said, I have so much going on this week, and I would have jumped in, but I'll get there.
Has everything been spoiled for you already or no?
No, not yet. Okay. I'm not the craziest there.
I won't go any further than that, but I'll just say it's really good. The cameos are really good. The people that they got were really good. The story is actually pretty darn good. Deadpool.
Johnny, I'll have to send you the link to this article.
Yeah.
because I mean, really, people, this is worth a read. I think if you could put it in the show notes. I think that would be like amazing for this one, because holy hell, it is quite the review. I know we've done a couple of these so far, but I don't know if anything will ever top this rant. It is insane.
Yes.
And, you know, listen to some of the other wonderful shows that we have on the Chairshot Radio Network. But I plan on sending this to Bandwagon Nerds in our little group chat, because holy hell, weird. They're going to be so mad.
Put it in there. put it in there today, and I'll grab it and put it the link in. So you guys,
wonderful.
When you're listening to the show, you already know you can go ahead and check that out. So there you have it. Let's see, which one do we want to get here? Yeah, we can go with this. My son went to prom inside a body bag. It was a brilliant stunt his classmates will never forget. If you wanna Google that storyline, go ahead, because there is video of it as well. A UK teen raised eyebrows at his high school prom after arriving at the bash in a body bag as part of a macabre stunt. They think of that for years to come, the boy's mom, Laura Jameson, 38, who helped orchestrate the goof, told Kennedy News. Her son, Lucas, who was in 11th grade, had reportedly wanted to make a memorable entrance at the dance. Here's all the pictures we're scrolling past, so go ahead and check that out online. After ruling out hiring a helicopter, the youngster decided on being thrown out of a van like a corpse, an idea that had been floated by a family friend. So basically, this conversion van shows up and two guys jump out with black shirts, jeans, and ski masks on, open the back up and pull these three guys out in body bags zipped up and lay them on the ground. And then the mom comes over and opens up and everybody's there watching and laughing. His mom dubbed it a brilliant idea. It's always really good to be original and think of something different, gushed the mother of four, who ordered three body bags for Lucas and two friends and balaclava face masks for the bag transporters in preparation for her son's grand entrance. However, Laura, an autism support officer, feared she might get in trouble for procuring such suspicious items, explaining, "If somebody was watching me, I probably would have had police come round." Lucas's friends were also initially reticent about performing. I haven't read the word reticent in a long time, so that's why it took me a second, but I got it right. Pardon my brain. Lucas's friends were also initially reticent about performing the bizarre stunt. However, they eventually agreed after he told them they couldn't accompany him to prom if they didn't participate. Ahead of the party, the Brit's mom informed the teachers of their plan so they could take pictures and also presumably so they wouldn't call authorities. When the big day arrived, Lucas's stepdad, Dean Jameson, and two of their friends donned balaclavas, drove them to the venue, and helped get inside their body bags. They then took the four corpses out of the bag and laid them on the ground before they unzipped them, and the suit and sunglass-clad lads popped out like a boy band and start of a music video as seen in the Facebook video. So yeah, go ahead and check that out. It's kind of a fun little watch, cool little story. And yeah, I would imagine the people that were in that class that went to prom for the rest of their lives will say, remember those three idiots that showed up in body bags.
You could say prom was dead on arrival. God damn. Oh God. You can tell we do these things too early and our dad genes come out.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Fast.
Something about The Last Dance, you know, there you go.
Consumers cannot expect to be actually eating boneless chicken anymore. Because a divided Ohio Supreme Court case ruled Thursday that they have rejected claims by restaurant patron who suffered serious medical complications from getting a bone stuck in his throat, that boneless chicken wings can actually have bones. Michael Berkheimer was dining with his wife and friends at a wing joint in Hamilton, Ohio, and had ordered the usual boneless wings with Parmesan garlic sauce when he felt a bite-sized piece of meat go down the wrong way. 3 days later, feverish and unable to keep food down, Berkheimer went to the emergency room where a doctor discovered a long, thin bone had actually torn through his esophagus and caused an infection. Berkheimer sued the restaurant Wings on Brookwood, saying the restaurant failed to warn him that so-called boneless wings, which are, of course, nuggets of skinless breast meat, could contain bones. The suit also named the supplier and the farm that produced the chicken, claiming all were negligent. In a 4-3 ruling, the Supreme Court of Ohio said Thursday that, quote, boneless wings refers to a cooking style and that Berkheimer should have been on guard against bones since it's common knowledge that chickens do have bones. The High Court sided with the lower courts that had dismissed Berkheimer's suit earlier in the month. Again, stupid is as stupid does there, Tunny. I think we all know that boneless chicken still has bones, but I feel like Berkheimer might take this to the highest court imaginable.
Well, I thought we had the same story, but there was a ruling on this by a court.
Oh, hell yeah.
I had that story. They ruled that, and by like four...
Quick update!
Breaking news! I got breaking news. Here we go. Where is it? Come on. Son of a bitch. Where'd you go, breaking news? There she is. Yeah, let me see if I can grab this story real quick. If you don't mind riffing for a second.
Sure, I got another story I can go to. We can come right back to it.
Actually, I think I'm gonna find. I got it.
Perfect.
Okay, chicken wings advertised as boneless can have bones, Ohio Supreme Court decides. Consumers cannot expect boneless chicken wings to actually be free of bones, a divided Ohio Supreme Court ruled Thursday, rejecting claims by a restaurant patron who suffered serious medical complications from getting a bone stuck in his throat. Michael Berkheimer was dining with his wife. Same story, correct?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. In a 4-3 ruling, the Supreme Court said Thursday that boneless wings refers to a cooking style and that Berkheimer should have been on guard against bones since it's common knowledge that chickens have bones. The High Court sided with lower courts that had dismissed Berkheimer's suit. A diner reading boneless wings on a menu would no more believe that the restaurant was warranting the absence of bones in the items than believe that the items were made from chicken wings. Just as a person eating chicken fingers would know that he has not been served fingers, Justice Joseph T. Dieters wrote for the majority. The dissenting justices called Dieters' reasoning utter jabberwocky and said a jury should have been allowed to decide whether the restaurant was negligent in serving Berkheimer a piece of chicken that was advertised as boneless. The question must be asked, does anyone really believe that the parents in this country who feed their young children boneless wings or chicken tenders or chicken nuggets or chicken fingers expect bones to be in the chicken? Of course they don't, Justice Michael P. Donnelly wrote in dissent. When they read the word boneless, they think that it means without bones, as do all sensible people.
Okay, so no, I really got worried because I was like, you're like reading word for word what I just read. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, this whoever wrote your article put way more time into this than the one I had. Just holy shit.
So basically, I mean, your guy just wrote what happened to the guy. My guy wrote about the court ruling.
I feel like some person's trying to get promoted on your end of things.
I'll just tell you, though, that's pretty awesome, though, because we do sometimes with this over the, five times we've done this now, we do have the same stories we pull because we kind of just show up and kind of collaborate. But the fact that he didn't know and I didn't know that we each had this story collaborated on together kind of worked out for us today. So there you go. Things looking up on the oddity here.
All right, Tony, that's actually your go if you have another story. Otherwise, I can get going.
Yeah, I got a quick one for you.
Sure.
Suspects on the run scale fence, land in police lot. Two shoplifting suspects running from the police scaled the fence to get away from officers and landed in a secure parking lot of a police station and in custody. Officials tell KTAR-FM that officers were called to a gas station for possible shoplifting at 6 p.m. Friday. Authorities say as officers arrived, the suspects, 28-year-old Marwan and 29-year-old Salma, took off running. The pair ran alongside of the building and jumped a fence, despite a sign for Peoria Police above the door. Security video shows Horia trying to hide under a bench before being placed in custody. Ali Badi, these are the last names, climbed back over the fence and was arrested on the street. Both faced charges of shoplifting, trespassing in a critical public safety building, and drug charges. It wasn't immediately known if either is represented by a lawyer.
Yeah, this is like one of those, I forget who has world's dumbest, like whatever, like This is where fucking like Leif Erikson or Leif Garrett comes on and like talks about how stupid this is. And like, oh, look, there's Tanya Harding talking about it, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Tanya Harding. Oh, no, thanks.
Tanya,
more like bye, Tanya.
Oh, got him. Do you have a boom?
Burn.
Amid the surge in ticketless traveling in Mumbai, local trains and railway stations, Mumbai's Western Railways division set up a dedicated team to help tackle the situation. What they are labeling it, though, is the Batman Squad, which stands for Be Aware TTE Manning at Night. Has been set up to conduct ticket checks inside of local trains and stations, especially at night, as ticket inspectors are largely absent after 8 p.m. The Batman Squad began patrolling from night of March 11th, and since then, around 2,500 ticketless passengers have been fined, resulting in the collection of a revenue at RS 6.5 whatever for the Western Railways. Western Railway Station. The primary responsibility of the squad is to ensure ticket compliance. It is also supposed to monitor activities taking place at the railway stations during the night. And if you are wondering, yes, Tunny, there have been multiple members of the Batman squad to dress up as the Cape Crusader himself. I'm going to tell you right now, if I am going around and trying to pay for a ticket or whatever, and some dude comes in and is just like, ticket, please. I don't know how I'm going to take it seriously.
I'm demasking the fake Batman.
I don't know why.
And then when I pull the mask off, I go, you're not Bruce Wayne. Dun, dun, dun.
you ever see Dogma?
Yes, of course. When, great movie.
When Silent Bob tosses him off the train and just goes, no ticket. It's just Batman doing that. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, the annoying crusader. What can you do? Let's see. I got one more for you. Drugged up swans forced to go cold turkey after invading poppy farm. Swans that became addicted to eating opium poppies have been forced to go cold turkey after invading a farmer's field. Hundreds of swans began arriving at the poppy field near Komarno in Slovakia, local media outlet RTVS reported. The birds, estimated to number more than 200, were initially attracted to the field due to a temporary pond that had formed after heavy rains. But the swans became stuck in the field after getting a taste for the opium poppy, a bizarre situation that neither farmers nor conservationists had seen before. The opium poppy is a plant for which opiate drugs are derived. The milky latex found in the seed capsules of the plant contains various naturally occurring opiate compounds. In the space of around 4 months, the swans wreaked havoc on the farmer's field, destroying around $11,000 worth of plants over an area of more than 5 hectares. But the swans suffered physically as a result of their consumption, becoming dependent on the plant. Intoxicated birds were seen acting dazed and unable to fly or even walk. The entire poppy plant is toxic except for the seed. Those swans don't recognize it and thereby harm themselves, poppy farmer told RTVS. You know, around here,
it seems like every week we find a story about animals getting high.
Yeah, it's just a part of society, folks, whether you're a human or an animal.
Just to add on, like I had a potential story to talk about sharks finding a cocaine.
Yeah, I seen that one. Shark test positive for cocaine. Beach shark test positive for cocaine, right? As a golfer, I know that I like it to see a swan because they keep the geese away, and you won't see as big of a flock of swans as you will geese. But man, if I was out on the course and I seen like an opium swan just fucking stumbling all over, trying to fly and then kind of half landing back in the water again.
You know what? I would stay away from that because swans are already deranged. The last thing I need is just an absolutely wigged out swan. They might just come out and attack you.
Yeah, that's a long neck with a sharp beak.
This concludes our latest edition of The Oddity. Keep the news weird, folks. Let's keep it going. This has been a lot of fun. I'm hoping you're having fun, too. And as I said last week, I'll say it this week again. If you have any stories, feel free to send it to us over at thechairshot.com. Send it to PC Tunny. Tunny, what's your Twitter or X handle?
Follow me at PC Tunny. If you want to email me some stuff or ideas or whatever you got, PC Tunny at thechairshot.com.
And you can send it to me as well at Dave in Cudahy. We will gladly read it if you have anything, because man, it's a lot of fun reading these stories. I'm absolutely blown away by how stupid people can be. Meatball theft and all.
Yeah, red sauce. Caught red sauce faced. And I'll even throw an incentive out there. When we finally get this t-shirt up and going here, we'll have some kind of contest for some fan contributors, and somebody's going to win a t-shirt. How's that sound?
Oh, dang. I didn't even get a t-shirt. You're going to get a t-shirt before I do.
You'll get a t-shirt once we get them. We'll have the first two. Don't worry.
Well, how many years did it take me to get a Chair Shot t-shirt?
How about me? This is my first Chair Shot t-shirt, and I run the fucking thing.
Oh, I meant the actual Chair Shot t-shirt.
Oh, that way. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, on behalf of PC Tunny, I'm Dave Wirtz. Thank you for tuning in to The Oddity. Keep the news ridiculous.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.